Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Hallelujah. The Lord has given us the victory. Lord, we praise you and we thank you for the victory that's going on in the world and the one that's going on in the church. Lord, the swamp is being drained. We thank you so much, Father, for what you're doing. It's going to be an awesome miracle and a witness to the whole world. Thank you so much in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm going to share some revelations with you today. And I've got an interesting thing happened to us on the first. We had four dreams and a vision that came to us on that same day, basically showing a parallel of the state and church faction and how close we are to the Red Sea. Also, this shows, like all the types, that the deep state factious in state and church are going to lose as the swamp is drained. And God is doing an awesome job. Amen. Now, this first revelation was given to Merlene Laughlin on the 1st, 5-1-20. And it's about the factious ambition to trash homes. Yes. She said, this morning I had a flash dream of the following. K and P were facing one another in profile. K was on the left and P on the right, and they were in a living room with white walls, meaning a pure house. All of a sudden, they started tipping furniture over, trashing things on shelves. Then P stopped and looked at the kids and said, come on, dump the drawers. Well, S and the girls were reluctant to obey. The younger of the girls said, Papa? No, Papa. I saw marker scribbles on the walls. No one was home. And this was one of many homes that were done this way. My heart was beating fast, but I was not afraid. We were expecting an attack. And then I woke up, and I threw three quarters to confirm if this dream was from God, and it is. Well, let me share with you what I believe is the spiritual interpretation of this. The faction has been attempting to trash homes, spiritual and physical, for years. They're successful with some people, and that's because they've let their guard down, or they're in sin, or they are not really doing anything with their sins. And just as the factious homes themselves are all been trashed when they and their families fall into faction and its sins of corruption, they attempt to trash physical houses as an individual spiritual houses by sending faction by witchcraft and slander demons. And when people believe them, they get trashed in their houses, their families and friends, etc. So it's a real judgment against those who would try to join themselves with the bride, but who are not worthy, who consider themselves part of the bride, but they're not worthy. And the Lord uses this way to separate them because of that. And so they also like to pray witchcraft prayers against the righteous in order to trash their physical things. We were sent warring angels to stand by each of us, waiting for our commands to go forth in war for us as we bind the forces of darkness. And these also turn their curses back on them while we are blessed. And in parallel, the deep state in the elite and the Hollywood and government and business and child trafficking, etc., are being served indictments. And some are rounded up immediately, some later. And their monies are being taken by this administration through executive order to be restored to the people they stole it from. These people are also dying slowly from the adrenochrome that an agent laced with COVID-19 L version or L strain made from the adrenal blood of the children that they sacrifice. And they're drunken, literally drunken with the blood of God's children, just like our faction in the spirit is. Revelation 17 and 5, and upon her forehead a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of the harlots of the abominations of the earth. Well, you don't get much greater abomination than what they have done, you know, in trying to scare children to death. And then taking their adrenal blood, and they actually drink it, get high on it. And if they get it taken away from them, they start aging very, very quickly, and you can tell who they are, or they start going crazy, as we can see. And it goes on to say, and I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with a great wonder. I, you know, never dreamed years ago that there would be a literal fulfillment of this and a spiritual fulfillment of this, which we're seeing today. It's terrible. I know a lot of people out there that are listening to me, you probably don't know what's going on, but you know about the underground cities and you know what the elite have been doing down there as far as sacrificing children and drinking their blood. And so, and she also said, Merlene also said, I received this by faith at random, and my finger was on God judgeth. 1 Corinthians 5:12 and 13. For what have I to do with judging them that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within, but them that are without God judgeth. Put away the wicked man from among yourselves. Well, that's part of the judgment, putting away the wicked man from among yourselves. Although, as I've reported many times, you don't even have to tell these people to go. They always leave in anger with any kind of correction or any kind of something that their sins being revealed or with any kind of, well, it's just they don't take any correction. When God's ready for them to go, He just turns them over to this. So, I believe this verse is showing that the faction are not believers because they deny and rebel against all scripture. And they practice what they slanderously say others do, just like the deep state parallel. I mean, we can see it in the government. They all charged Trump with things that he was not guilty of. Could not be proven. It was all in their imagination, but it was all stuff that they were doing themselves. And that's what those demons do. We call them the stupid demons because they don't make a bit of sense. And I'm sure that the world is confounded and confused with the stupidity that has taken over the left wing and the whole Democratic Party and some of the Republican Party. It's astounding. Unless you believe in demons, it's just astounding. As such, we see that God will judge them. That's where her finger was. God judges, as he is now judging the deep state. Oh my gosh, is he ever? And the parallel is running true and is going to run true. As the Lord told us, Romans 2 and 3, "And reckonest thou this, O man, who judges them that practice such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God?" No, it's not possible. It's not possible to escape the judgment of God. They, first of all, are unforgiving, so they're unforgiven, so they don't have any blood covering, since they judge after the flesh, and they judge with lies and slander, and that's what demons do. You can't convince them or convict them of anything else. You can't convict them of the truth. You can see Nancy Pelosi and the other people in the very left wing there hindering everything. Don't care how much they hurt people. Don't care, you know, at all. Doesn't bother them a bit. They've got no conscience, even when they're so very, very hypocritical. It doesn't affect them. It would shame even the average person on the street, much less a Christian, you know. But they're so hypocritical because they are doing the same things. And of course, he says here, they will not escape the judgment of God. Well, first of all, they are not escaping the judgment of God. One of the judgments is that they were turned over to these demons because they judged others and falsely. So then we got something very, very close to this the same day. Now, neither one of these folks knew that one another had these dreams. This is Eve Brass. Got it on the 1st, 5-1-20. And it's all about rebels trashing the way. Yep, trashing again. See, how can that happen? Well, it's God. You know, it's just God. She said, "I dreamed that I was in a house. The kitchen reminded me of my maternal grandmother's kitchen when I was growing up." And she has a note here, "My maternal grandmother represents the original or ancient church teachings," that's the kitchen part, "or food that we were not supposed to depart from." Yes, we never were to depart from what was originally given. It was an eternal gospel, and only men can say God changed it. But God says in the end of the book, if you say that, you're under the curse. The curses of this book, right? And so, and Jeremiah 18:15 is the verse, "For my people have forgotten me. They have burned incense to false gods." Well, you remember, of course, that Paul said that the Gentiles sacrifice to demons and not God. Okay? False gods represent demons. Praying witchcraft prayers to demons is what's going on here. Not that they can be successful. "And they have been made to stumble in their ways, in the ancient paths, to walk in bypass, in a way not cast up." So the ancient paths are, I believe, the highway to Zion, the bride. Obviously, everybody in the church, most of them, I believe they're in the bride, because they don't understand that, no, the bride was taken out of the church. And it was because of beauty and maturity that the bride is taken out of the church, like in Esther and Song of Solomon. Psalm 45, all of the types and shadows point to this. But yet most of the church has been told this. Oh, yes, you're in the bride. Everybody's in the bride. No. The highway is to the original teachings were a highway to bring us to the bride. Maturity, beauty, holiness, etc. That which the king loves, right? And we can see in some texts here that I'm going to share that no unclean fools can go up thereon. They can't get on that road. They stumble because they're being judged by God to walk in a low way, the way of wickedness. Psalm 84 and 5, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. Whose heart are the highways to Zion. Is this important? Many people have things in their heart, and the faction are full of hatred and guilt and criticism and slander, which God said he would destroy. But those who have a desire to be in Zion, the bride, one of the high callings of God in Christ Jesus, they're not distracted by all that stuff. I mean, even though that stuff is a part of their crucifixion and God uses it, you know, they're not distracted by that. That's not what's important to them. Okay. Psalm 129 and 5 says, let them be put to shame and turned backward, all they that hate Zion. Yes, and they do hate Zion. Isaiah 35 and 8, and a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. There it is. That's the highway of holiness. Separation from sin unto the scriptures and unto God. Which, if you're separated unto the scriptures, in other words, separated because you obey the scriptures, you are separated unto God. The unclean shall not pass over it, that highway of holiness. No, they can't. Even though they claim that they are the bride, they can't. But it shall be for the redeemed. The wayfaring men, yea, fools, shall not err therein. Okay, that wayfaring means a traveler on a broad road, not the narrow road, which we're going to come back to in a minute. Fools, he calls them, shall not err therein. They will not be found on the highway to Zion. And, of course, God will judge all those that hate Zion. He puts them to shame and turns them backward. They go as far away from Zion as they can get. They get as far away from the bride as they can get. Isaiah 35 and 10, and the ransomed of the Lord, ransomed means bought and taken, delivered out of bondage or whatever, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. So the Lord paid the price for people who repent to come to Zion. He paid the price. He paid the ransom. He paid what would set us free from bondage to the old man. He paid the ransom. Some people don't want to give up their old man. They want to live and follow as the old man decrees. And everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. Everything we can see in the Bible, especially like in Isaiah, talks about the great joy that's going to come upon those who are found to be in the bride. That's, of course, what the testing is all about in these days. Remember what John the Baptist said, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. She was then the bride. When Jesus' ministry started, he went out and chose the bride to walk with him. And so this is what the testing is all about now, is separating, sanctifying the righteous and separating the wicked from them. Is what has to happen before the man-child starts his ministry. Because the types and the shadows are all running parallel, right? and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Yes, they're coming out of a crucifixion at the hands of the wicked, and the blessing of the Lord is upon them, etc. This prize will cause the bride to escape bondage and escape much of the judgment that's coming upon this world. I was going through the cupboards packing food items into a white grocery sack to take to school for lunch. And she has representing the school in the wilderness that the righteous attend. Let me say that, as I've taught for years, when you come to the Lord, you're supposed to immediately go into your wilderness, kind of like Moses did. However, the Israelites were by the flesh pots in Egypt. And when Moses came out of the wilderness, it was to bring the people of God through their own wilderness, which they did not go into, to go to the promised land. And so it's true that some people, when they start reading the scriptures, they don't care what people around them are doing or if they're doing it or not. They want to obey the Lord because they have a relationship with the Lord. There are many people who have no relationship with the Lord, even called Christians, and they have no relationship with the Lord because the word does not affect them. They don't set about to be obedient to the word through their faith, and it does not affect them. If nobody else in their dead religion does it, they won't do it either. They feel comfort in the people around them rather than having a relationship with the Lord. You know, because let me say this: when you obey the scriptures, you're in the wilderness. And if you refuse the scriptures, the only thing you want is the flesh pots of Egypt. You see, because the scriptures conform you to the new man, Jesus Christ. And this must happen. It must happen. It's a crucifixion. It puts to death your old man. The word of the washing of the water with the word is your baptism. It puts to death the old man if you obey it. And it puts to death the new man if you rebel against it. It's very simple. You're either growing one way or the other. Turned backward is what he said about those that hate Zion. They're turned backward. They're becoming more corrupt than they were even before they came to the Lord. That's the facts. No one would think about being that evil, even in the world. It's a shame. I mean, there are so many people that are flooding out of the Democratic Party as they see how wild and hypocritical and crazy these people have become. And that's because they've invited Satanism into their homes and their lives and their families. And you give the devil an inch, he takes a mile, right? So this school in the wilderness is where we're supposed to be. Okay? I saw T standing with her arms crossed over near the stove talking with two other ladies. She seemed like she was in charge of them. I knew that I didn't have a lot of time before I needed to leave for school. And as I was going through the cupboards, I saw a couple of cans of cat food that T had bought sitting on the counter. Cat food is for a rebellious, self-willed beast. I'm sorry about you that love cats, but generally they're known to be self-willed, and they don't pay a whole lot of attention. They're not as easily trained as a dog, for instance, obviously. So anyway, their food here is talking about cat food. I picked up one of the cans, and it felt really light. So I opened it and looked inside to find just a tiny dab of cat food in the bottom of the can. I took a few steps towards T, and the other women and showed them the empty can of cat food and said, "You're getting ripped off." Well, let me say something. All of the faction are getting ripped off. They're not eating the food they need to eat to put them in the kingdom of God, to baptize their flesh unto death. They're not getting that food. They're partaking of the self-willed and rebellious beast is what they're partaking of. They're getting ripped off. They're not eating enough to keep them alive. And the enemy has stolen the godly food from them. And they are partaking of the beastly food of rebellion. And they are spiritually starving to death, not even realizing it. Yeah. Then I took the lunch that I had packed and went out to the driveway where my car was parked. The car looked like an old four-door Lincoln. Well, this is maybe not going to make a lot of sense to you right here and now, but when I get through, it will make a lot of sense to you. She got a revelation. President Lincoln defeated the rebel army. And she didn't know it, and Michael didn't know what she had, but Michael saw a vision the same day. Not knowing of these other dreams about the rebel army. Okay. So this car that she had was a four-door Lincoln. The rebels wanted, she went on to say, the rebels wanted to keep those walking in darkness in bondage as slaves. Actually, I think that was part of my note. Romans 6 and 16, know ye not that to whom you present yourselves as servants unto obedience, his servants you are whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Notice, of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. There are people that are not coming into the resurrection life of Christ because they will not obey the scripture. You have to die to be resurrected. The scripture puts to death the old man. He hates it. I remember one of my first visions many years ago. I was going down this road with the old man on my back. He was riding piggyback on my back. And I came up to the water. And I jumped off in the water. And the old man hated the water. He couldn't stand the water. He was trying to climb up on my head to get out of the water because the old man hates the water of the word. And I kept stiff-arming him to keep him off of me until he drowned. yeah, that's what's necessary. The waters of baptism. Remember the Israelites when they went through the Red Sea? The old man drowned. Yes. So, God's got a plan. Their old man drowned. Paul called that a baptism, which is a death of the old life, the old man. And, of course, the Israelites came up on the other side, which represents resurrection life. So, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. And then she said, I caught R putting trash in my car. As she hurriedly tried to shut the rear passenger door on the driver's side. Notice the dreams that they didn't know one another had about the trashing. She was caught off guard and didn't shut the door all the way. She was trying to act smooth about it. Well, the trash represents several things. Witchcraft prayers to try to hinder our way, and also trashing us with their mouths to themselves and others using lies and slander. You probably heard the saying, being trashed, or them trashing so-and-so, meaning, of course, speaking lies and slander against them. The deceptive way is well identified in Scripture. 2 Timothy 3:13 says, but evil men and imposters. Imposters is somebody who claims to be a Christian and they are not. And it's obvious from their actions that they are not. Evil men and imposters shall wax worse and worse. Boy, I tell you, I've seen it. They do. They're getting worse and worse. Deceiving and being deceived. You see, you can't deceive without being deceived. Because whatsoever a man sows, so shall he reap. The Bible says, don't be deceived. Whatsoever a man sows, so shall he reap. So they are deceiving and being deceived. They even believe that they're right. They act like they believe that they're right, even though it's an obvious lie and can be proven to be a lie. Judges 1:11 says, woe unto them, for they went in the way of Cain. The way of Cain, of course, was to kill his brother, which, you know, we see in the Esau's and the Ishmaelites against Israel today. The parable is still the same, and history always repeats, even in the church. So there are those who want to kill their brother. In fact, they've made it their ministry to kill their brother. And ran riotously, and they think they're doing God a favor, just like Jesus said, right? And they ran riotously in the error of Balaam for hire. Well, we know Balaam, as a lot of Christians, are lured by the pleasures of this life and the pleasures of the flesh to do evil, to want to do evil. He wanted to curse the people of God. God told him no. He came back a second time to try to convince God, and God had an angel standing in the way with a sword, right? So they're lured by their own flesh to do evil. They're bought out by sin and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Yes, that's exactly what happened. The slandering rebel Korah, you know, was swallowed up by the earth, and his whole family, look, notice, swallowed up by the earth. That means swallowed up by the flesh, because where did man's flesh come from? The earth. It's earthly. As we have borne the image of the earthly, let us also bear the image of the heavenly. Right? Yes. Verse 12. These are they who are hidden rocks in your love feasts. See, God tells you right off the bat that they're hiding among us, that the troubles and trials and tribulations will bring them out because they will not go to their cross. They will not go against their flesh. And what was it that reveals them? Well, 2 Thessalonians tells us, they're revealed by the falling away. The sons of perdition are revealed by the falling away. Then you know who they are. When Judas fell away, everybody knew who he was. Jesus made some comments about Judas, and everybody was wondering, is it me, Lord? Is it me? No. It's the one who dipped his sop, son of perdition. There you go. When they feast with you, Judas feasted with the rest of them, you know, and I guarantee you he was praying for the sick and had things like that happening. And I mean, they didn't all of them sit around and say, wait a minute, what's wrong with Judas? You know, he don't have any power, blah, 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 whatever, you know. He fell away. Well, I can tell you, after you fall away into the faction, you will never have power. You can't do signs and wonders and miracles. You're just like the dead Pharisees. You see, that don't happen. And anything miraculous that happens is because of demonic activity. But the devil is not going to go against himself. You know, they go right back to doing and trusting in the world the same way they always did before, you know. And it says here then, shepherds, although shepherds wasn't in the original there, it's not a numeric pattern in shepherds, because it's not just shepherds that do this, that without fear feed themselves. Yes, they feed self. They feed self. To the death of their old man, they feed self. Clouds without water. True. There's no word left in them. They don't want to hear the word, etc., etc. Carried along by winds. Yep, every wind of doctrine. They get blown back and forth. Some of them end up back in dead religions that they would have never set foot in when they had any brains. Autumn trees without fruit. Yep, the leaves are all turned brown. They can't take in the sun anymore. And they don't bear fruit. Twice dead, that means they had to be born again once, right? Twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Yep, they're plucked up. Even though they're being used of the devil constantly against Christianity, they are plucked up. They can receive no sustenance from God, right? Wild waves of the sea. They're going the wrong way, right? Foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars. They don't keep their heavenly positions in Christ, right? Wandering stars for whom the blackness of darkness hath been reserved forever. And 2 Peter 2 and 13. Suffering wrong as the hire of wrongdoing. Yes, people get bribed by what they can gain. A lot of the faction are thieves. Literal thieves. They'll steal anything they can get their hands on. Men that count it pleasure to revel in the daytime spots and blemishes. Of course, God is raising up a church and a bride that is spotless and blemishless. They don't like that. Who among us can dwell with everlasting burnings, they say, right? They don't want to stay in the fire. They don't want their flesh to burn up, etc., etc. Reveling in their deceivings while they feast with you. Yes, that's exactly what they do. Even though they're not really deceiving you, they sure try. In fact, we've got to have a revelation about that just a little bit further down. She had just put a small white metal door of some kind in the back seat. We got two things on this. Very interesting how God can fulfill more than one parable with something like this. First of all, she discarded the narrow door of the narrow way of the kingdom, treating it as trash. That's exactly what happened. Jesus, the Word, is the door. And that's trash to them. Also, Anna pointed out when I was sharing this that this is a back door. It was in the back seat and it's a back door, which is used in computers to gain illegal access, which we just had a very specific dream of a factious leader and family listening in as we, and we closed the door. They were listening in. They were hiding. I went over to the car as she started to walk off and looked inside and saw that she had filled the car with all sorts of trash. Yes, Eve, you have been trashed by the trashy. I said, "What are you doing? Why have you put all this trash in my car?" She replied, "Oh, don't worry about it. It'll be fine." I said, "No, it won't. You're making me late for school." Yes, it won't. It's not going to be good. We do not accept your trash. You keep your trash. She just waved me off and walked back into the house where T and the other ladies were. I thought I was going to have to clean my car out before I could leave to go to school, and then I woke up. Well, here is the good news. The good news is that Isaiah 54:17, "No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper." They don't know this. They don't believe this. They formulate all kinds of weapons. "It shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment," there it is, right there, "every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn." This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. That is, those who serve the Lord, not themselves, not their demons. "And their righteousness, which is of me, saith the Lord." Every tongue that shall rise against the righteous in judgment shall be condemned, right? So we condemn the tongues of slander and witchcraft prayers and curses sent towards us to try to stop our progress in the kingdom, which it can't happen. It can't happen. "No weapon that's formed against thee shall prosper." 1 Samuel 15:23. "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft." Yes. "And stubbornness," it's kind of the left wing, the goats, right? "Stubbornness is as idolatry and teraphim," which is another way to try to get answers from God, even though it's the wrong God. And they do. You know, they do some of the things they used to do. They, you know, ask for signs, but every sign that comes to them, according to Isaiah 14, is deception. So they make a lot of wrong steps, and they get caught, just like the deep state in the government. The same thing. "Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord," there's the key right there, "he also rejected thee from being king." We cast it down and we forbid it in the name of Jesus. Their curses will come upon their own heads, because the Lord said, "I will curse them that curse thee." And he also said many times and in many ways that those who lay a snare fall into it themselves. So you see, he always turns the wicked works of the faction back on themselves. They pay for it. They pay for it in their flesh, in their family, in the curse that they live under, etc. And of course, we send the warring angels that have been assigned to us to stop their demonic warfare and to turn it back. We bind and we forbid the principalities and powers and rulers of their darkness from warring against those who serve God. Amen. Now, you remember the Lincoln, right? And the rebels who tried to keep the people who walked in darkness as slaves. I'm talking parabolic here. So, anyway, this is a vision given to Michael Hare the same day as Eve's revelation. And we called it Rebels War to Keep the Dark Ones in Slavery. We want to save the dark ones. They want to keep them in slavery. And I'm not talking against black people here. We're talking spiritual, obviously. And Michael said, while walking south alongside the pasture where the pond is behind our mountain, I saw on my left side, the left side again, where the goats are, where Jesus put his rebellious goats, right? A vision of what looked like Robert E. Lee with his cavalry very close behind him and to the left of him. So they're all leftists. He saw them on his left side, and they, his army was on his left too. Right? They're leftists. There was a misty cloud around them, and it was hiding the rest of the rebels. See, they're gathering together right now, and they're trashing, you know, between each other. They're sharing their trash. We know this. And this allowed only the first few horse soldiers around Lee and the upper body of the cavalry to be seen. In other words, there was a bunch that were hiding. But there's nothing hidden that will not be revealed, as Jesus said. He is God in heaven, and we should treat him that way. All right? General Lee was wearing his Confederate uniform without a hat, and rode his white Appaloosa horse. Very interesting. General Lee was wearing his white beard and white hair and looked old. And I think that's just an identification of the old man is leading the rebels. The old man of flesh is leading the rebels. The vision was alongside the woods before you get to the pond headed south, the same direction as I was headed. So, there's a meeting somewhere down the road, right? Yeah. The rebels factioned against the Union. Jesus prayed that we would be one as he is one. The rebels factioned against the Union who were seeking to free the slaves in type from sin, right? Obviously, as the type shows, the rebels are going to lose this war and their slaves will be freed. So let's command and this to be done. Father, in the name of Jesus, we command that the rebels are no longer able to hold the people as slaves. They will be freed in the name of Jesus. Thank you so much, Father, for this parable. And it's very clear from this parable that the rebels will lose the war. Michael said, I looked away forward and it was gone until I looked back to the left again at the pasture and saw the vision again. So let me say in a spiritual way that this army will not be in the future time, only in the past, because they will lose their war as all the types and the Lord that the Lord has shown us. For instance, in Joel chapter 2, the northern army, was smitten when they came against the bride, Zion. Then Zion, listen to this now, then Zion was rewarded with great revival and renewal of all that this army stole from them. Yeah. Remember what God said in Joel chapter 2? He gave it all back. Multiplied. Yes, everything. That's, you see, nobody can steal anything from you. And you don't even have to worry about what they stole. The faction has stole much from us, but they can't really steal anything, because the Lord gives it back. And he gives it back multiplied. If you're obedient, he gives it back multiplied. So, the northern army were smitten when they came against the bride. And after this smiting, that's when Zion was rewarded. That's when the bride got her reward. Right there. In Jehoshaphat's war with the three armies that came against him, they were divided by demons lying in wait, and they killed each other off before reaching Zion. In Pharaoh's army, they were drowned in the Red Sea before they could catch the people of God. Haman was destroyed, and his army was destroyed before he could destroy the people of God. Sennacherib's army was destroyed before they could fire an arrow over the wall of Jerusalem, the bride. They gathered, or these armies all gathered in order for God to destroy them. How many times did God say that strictly in the Bible? Quite a few. He raised up enemies against Israel so Israel could destroy them. I asked the Lord to give me a verse concerning this vision and received Matthew 4 and 24. And the report of him went forth into all Syria, and they brought unto him all that were sick, holding with divers diseases and torments, possessed with demons and epileptic and palsied, and he healed them. Wow. Isn't that awesome? What is that? That's the revival. It comes right after the destruction of the swamp army. So after this war is won, the man-child ministry in whom Jesus lives by word and spirit, along with the bride, will start the great revival of salvation, healing, and deliverance. Oh, hallelujah. Now, Vanessa sent this to me the same day. She had this on the 28th, 4/28, but she sent it to me on the same day. She said, I had this dream. I remembered this dream after I read Merlene's dream, the first one we talked about. I saw a white van drive up and stop by a grassy field. I dreamed about a pot blessing that night, and I'm not sure if it took place at the pot blessing or was it a separate dream. Maybe the pot blessing is a timing. What we know that at this time, the factions from back in the beginning are gathering together unto the one the Lord told me would gather them together, which is the latest faction leader. He told me that years ago. So I'm enthused, actually. I'm actually knowing that we're close to that reward and the end of the faction, and that God's going to do it, as he did in every one of those cases. And we're also coming close to the end of the faction in the government, and God's going to do it, because Cyrus didn't fail. And so just keep on praying and propping him up till he gets through doing his job, right? So she saw a white van drive up and stop by the grassy field, and two men got out who were thin and dressed identically. They had on a short sleeve white dress shirts and ball caps. That sounds good. I knew that they were like undercover cops to get a man who was a criminal. An overweight man, she said, which I believe represents being heavy with flesh, means overcome with flesh, with dark hair, which 1 Corinthians 11 points out, your hair is a sign of submission, so they're submitted to darkness, dark hair, and they came running up to where these men were standing by the van. This overweight man, he came running up to where these undercover cops were standing by the van. They grabbed him and threw him in the back seat of the white van. And Vanessa said, this criminal reminds me of the Judas in a dream I had on April the 10th, 2020, called Escaping Judas. The police type men were then smiling because their job was done. They had accomplished their job. And she said, I believe these policemen are angels who will bind and take away this criminal. Well, they could be both men and angels. Yeah. Judas will be stopped like all the other criminal leaders we have seen in the types above and that were stopped before they, like the dragon of Revelation 12, could devour the man, child, and the bride. Yep, they were stopped. So I asked the Lord for a word about the man, that is the rebellious man, the overweight man, the man who walked in sin and darkness. I asked the Lord for a word about the man who was bound and received by faith at random, Proverbs 26:12, in context 11 and 12. As a dog that returneth to his vomit, so is a fool that repeateth his folly. And that has happened. Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than of him. Yep, the Judases have repeated their folly many times. They go back to eating their vomit. Okay, here's another one. Sandy Shaw just had this one. A bride saved from the faction. And this was transcribed by Don and Merlene. This dream starts as all of UBM local were in a huge building. A realtor was showing us around. The first thing we saw was a beautiful kitchen and dining room. And on the left, sounds like the king's palace, right? Doesn't it? Like Esther went to the king's palace. And on the left of us, I kept seeing three large, muscular, foreign men. Foreigners are always likened in a lot of the dreams as people that are not like us, even though they might think that they are. Right? They were wearing our type of clothing. Khaki pants, long sleeve shirts, tucked in. Those hidden, deceiving, trying to blend in, etc. When I first saw them, I knew that they were trouble. And I believe Sandy represents the bride in this dream. I told Jeff I have to go to the bathroom, so I wheeled myself out of the living room, and I see a door that says women, so I locked my wheelchair. Sandy lost her foot years ago, and she's been believing for another one and gotten dreams about it being restored, and here it is, right here. I locked my wheelchair and stood up and walked to the bathroom. Going to the bathroom, I believe my note is getting rid of waste, right? That's the reason you go to the bathroom, is get rid of waste. You can't pack it around with you. You know, you'll die if you do. It is here that Sandy gets her new right leg. The interesting thing is on May the 1st. Yep. Eve also has been used in dreams as the bride too, and she just had on May the 1st a dream where a predator, dog, or shark, which have, by the way, been likened unto the faction, damaged her right leg. A man cut off her damaged lower right leg with a guillotine. Well, this sounds like a crucifixion, doesn't it? Crucifixion gets rid of all the damage, all the corruption, and brings us to resurrection life, right? He then replaced the leg, and it showed no damage. She then had to learn to walk on it, right? True, true. And Sandy said, as I'm walking out, my first husband, William, is right there. He said, Sandy, I didn't help protect you when I was alive, and I'm here to do it now. Sandy said, you can't do anything for me now. You're dead. Yes, there's a couple of meanings there, obviously, you know. The old man is reckoned to be dead, right? He can't do anything for you. He can't lead you. He's not going to come up on the other side of the Red Sea, you know. He can't lead you into the wilderness. Neither can the old dead leadership lead you into the wilderness. They've never been there. It takes a Moses to lead you into the wilderness, and that's where we're about to go. So the old man is reckoned to be dead. He is not to lead us or try to save us, or he will come back to life. You know that if you let the old man keep saving you, he will come back to life? That's right. He said, see those three men over there? Talking about those three that were trouble. They're out to get you. Yes, we know that. The old man cannot save from the wicked because he's in league with them. You know that. The old man is an old man, and the wicked are all old men, you know. So then all of a sudden, one of the men went towards David. Yes, they do, and have. And two of them were coming towards me. I do know that they have been collaborating lately to do just dirty things that they know to do. Some things we know already. We've been getting so very specific dreams concerning their plans and schemes. Two of them were coming towards me. I knew I could not reach David in time. So I decided to leave and to pray as the two men were coming towards me. So let me just say that the factious demons are out to kill the character or assassinate the character of the bride and of the man-child bodies. That's what they're out to do because they work for Satan. Satan doesn't find the faction to be a threat to him. He's already got them. That's not a problem. he finds that the man, child, and bride bodies are a threat to him. The apostate church, they don't know what to do, anything. They don't have authority over demons or anything like that. So you see, the demons want to do away with the character or assassinate the character of the bride and the man child. And in doing this, they hope that they won't lose more people to the kingdom of God. But they will. I ran out of the building and there were four SUVs. The two in front were black, representing the way of darkness, right? The third one was white, representing the way of righteousness and purity. And then a black one was behind that. And William, that is the old man, don't ever obey the old man, never. He said, run to the second SUV. So the old man is trying to lead her to darkness. And your old man will lead you to darkness. And in anything that will keep him alive, you understand? Is because if you heard the black dog, white dog scenario, right? You feed the black dog, he whips the white dog. You feed the white dog, he whips the black dog, you know? The scenario is pretty true. And who do you let lead you? And who do you feed, right? You're not going to grow up into the image of the bride if you follow after the old man. So here he is trying to lead her to darkness. But I ran to the white one. Praise be to God. The bride is led to the way of righteousness and purity. Just before I got to it, the door opened, so I sat in the driver's seat. Aha, this is now her way. She is sitting in the white SUV, her way. The door closed by itself and locked. Well, the way of righteousness is safety by the power of God. This is a place of safety. She was locked in and they were locked out. So if your way is white and pure, you have safety. You have a right over all the forces of darkness. William ran to the passenger side. Open the door, Sandy. Please, I can help you. No, he can't. Don't do it, Sandy. Don't do it. At that time, the other two men were pounding the driver's side with guns. They have evil, planning to do evil, planning to assassinate, right? So stay in the safety of the white vehicle, saints. And William said again, please, Sandy, open the door. Then two men were shooting. The two men were shooting. I could see the bullets hit the glass as they bounced. That's supernatural, I would say. That's kind of like the president's vehicle, right? No, they call it the beast. But it is bulletproof glass. And when that happened, William said, unlock the door. And I looked down at the armrest, and there was nothing. No controls, no locks, no handles. I said, God opened this door. God closed this door and locked it. And the only one who can help me and save me is God. And that's the only one you should trust in, right? And until he opens the door and tells me, I'm staying right here. And now I can pray. So now she's also doing something very powerful. She is praying. The devil hates prayers. I remember dreams that Sandy's had in the past, how the demons were trying to shut her up. Stop praying, stop praying. You know? Yeah. And after I said that in my spirit, I felt so safe. What did she say? Nobody can help me but God? I'm staying right here and pray. And then she said, I woke up. So she said, I received by faith at random. Jonah 1 and 2. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Okay, so if you do walk in the safety of the Lord, the wicked won't be able to take you down. Nineveh was the head of the Assyrian beast who killed apostate Israel, but failed to kill the Jerusalem bride. And I believe this head represents the dragon faction in state and church who fails to devour the man-child and the bride. Another thing, of course, Nineveh was the head of the Assyrian Empire. Who are Sennacherib's attack upon the Jerusalem bride, which ended in disaster for him. He was killed. There was a faction in his own little family there. His sons killed him and escaped. So I do know that the Lord has shown us that there will be faction in the midst of the faction. Because what you sow, you reap. But here's a thought I had when I read this part right here. The door with no lock or handle reminds me of another dream from a faction years ago that still seems to be in progress. As I remember, in that dream, there was a house that we recognized as UBM's. And on the right side of the house, the people were tall and shining. They were glorious. The people on the right side, which are the sheep, right? So was that side of the house. It was shining. Everything was shining on the right side of the house. Glorious. Okay. And the people were at peace, and they were praising God. They were tall, they were shining, they were praising God. Well, this was angering the people on the left side of the house. Yeah. On the left side, which represents goats, there was a people who were dwarfed. They couldn't grow up. They were dwarfed. And they were angry. And they were hyper, marching around, and they couldn't hold still. There was smoke coming out of their walls, as though their side of the house was burning down or being judged. Yeah. And there was a wall down the middle between the two peoples with a door in the wall. The angry people on the left were constantly trying to get at the glorious people on the right. But there was no doorknob on the door. There it is. It's just like this revelation here. There's no doorknob on the door. They can't get at the bride. It ain't going to happen. The only thing they can take is those that are like them, living in sin and wanting to justify it. So there was no doorknob on the door, so they really couldn't attack them. And they seemed to be frustrated and hopping around and angry because they couldn't get through the door to get at them. And there was no doorknob on the other side of the door for the glorious people to minister to the dwarves. Now, this represents a reprobation of sorts. But I can tell you, you can't convince them. They don't want you to pray over them, et cetera, et cetera. They are in total rebellion. And the Lord, the only one that's going to save them is God, if he does. And we already know that two-thirds of them are not going to be saved. One-third is going to be saved. So, and I believe that this not having a doorknob on the glorious people's side to go in to minister to the leftist dwarves indicates a kind of a reprobation. And there was also a crack most of the way down the middle of the house. And the left side was on a cliff. The right side was on a good foundation, a solid foundation. The left side was over a cliff. And the crack was going through the house and had gone most of the way through the house. And that would be mean, of course, a great falling away, right? And again, this could speak of a reprobation of sorts, a falling away, a cracking in two and a falling away. And the people on the right, of course, being delivered. Praise God. Like all of the scenarios that I just spoke about. The people on the right were delivered. The people on the left were destroyed. And I hope and pray that this is temporary for some, but it didn't show in the dream, as I remember. So here's another one. And this one was given to Sandy Shaw back in May 11th, 2017. In this dream, it is Pot Blessing Day, which we just had. It was an awesome, awesome day. You say, David, we all 6 feet apart. We did our best. Yes, it was good. Very, very good. Nice, beautiful day. Lots of good food, etc. It was Pot Blessing Day. There were a lot of cars throughout the front yard and even at the end of the house. And there are there were three gardens out front. Michael Hare was in the first garden with the potatoes. David was standing in front of the second garden. Marlene and I, who I was sitting in my wheelchair, Marlene and I were next to the square with the bird feeder, and we were looking at the rose bushes and the flowers. Then I saw a man walking up the hill, up the driveway. He looked familiar, but I didn't know why. He was walking towards David, and David towards him. And when he came up to David, he stuck out his hand and said, "Hello, you must be David Eales." And then I recognized him from a previous dream that I had, where babies were being rescued in New York Harbor, and that dream was given to her on March the 31st of 2017. So it's long before what's happening right now. I believe this dream is coming true now. In that dream, many babies were being rescued as they are being rescued now in the New York Harbor from underground tunnels and cities where the deep state faction sacrificed them, some of them, to Satan and drank their blood. That's right. And some died in both the dream and in real life. Some of these died as they came to the surface, just as is happening now. So that this is a parallel. The true children of God who were captured by the faction who sacrificed them to Satan will be rescued. Praise God. I left out, you know, pedophile. They're pedophiles. The underground cities and all are pedophiles, along with all their other lusts, you know. The thing about these demons is they deliver you over to your youthful lusts, whatever that is. And as a matter of fact, it gives some people lusts they've never had in their life. You know, these Satanists who sacrifice to Satan, they're big time into pedophiles. Yeah, and every other kind of lust. Our faction is into lots of kinds of lust. He looked out of place at this guy coming up the hill, right? Though he had jeans and a t-shirt on, but they had been pressed. I don't know about you. I never get pressed blue jeans. And I don't press my t-shirt either. His tennies were so white, you knew that it was the first time he had worn them. And there was not a hair out of place. When I realized that, I recognized him. I told Merlene, do you remember the Hudson River dream with the judge? And she said, yeah. And do you remember the man in the suit? And she said, yeah. And I said, that's him. Marlene said, yeah. Well, what are you going to do? And I said, well, watch me. And I interrupted David and the man in their conversation and said, I'm sorry, I didn't quite get your name. He stuck out his hand and said, oh, hi, I've been listening to UBM for a few months, and I thought I would take this opportunity to know the people. I said, so where did you say you were from? He said, oh, well, I was raised as a military brat, so I was raised from here and there, which, of course, is very evasive. And I said, no, you didn't answer my question. So where did you come from? He said, New York. Uh-oh. I was getting aggressive and getting more aggressive each time I spoke. David was standing there with his head tilted to the side as though he was thinking and taking in what was being said. Marlene was standing behind me and to the right side, and to the side, excuse me, praying in tongues. And Michael was standing straight up, now looking towards us. So I said, New York? So, have you been there a while? He said, yes. I said, well, what is it that you do? He said, well, I'm a jack of all trades and a well-rounded entrepreneur. Very evasive, again. I said, so what is it that you do with kids? Because she was remembering her dream of the kids being rescued in the harbor and some of them dying, which is happening. So what is it that you do with kids? Of course, he hadn't said anything about the kids, right? And his face turned red. Oh, guilty of the blood of the children. He said, oh, no, I don't have any kids and I'm not married. Oh, you say that with all the jobs you have, you don't deal with kids? He said, oh, no. I said, what a horrible thing that happened to that judge in the Hudson River. Well, don't know, but it looked like an assassination, maybe to hide the truth, how this judge was found literally floating in the Hudson River. Did she find out something? Was she going to make a judgment? I don't exactly know. He said, yes, that was quite a horrible ordeal. I said, so how were you affiliated with that judge? Of course, he didn't say anything about that. He said, oh, no, I'm not. I said, huh? That's a lie. I don't believe you. And he said in an angry voice, what's your name again? And she said, exactly, I didn't give mine like you didn't give yours. And I said, as I pointed my finger, you're a liar. Okay. So, then I turned to David and said, he's full of faction. He came here to start trouble. So basically, she was connecting him with the great sin that caused those babies to, some of them dead from sacrifice. Some of them molested. Some of them mutated from their experiments on them and things like that, you know. He was connecting them with that and with the judge. Could the judge just mean justice was not served there? Could be. But it also could be that they assassinated somebody, like they have so many people, to keep them from coming against them. And, you know, the faction, they assassinate everybody that's come against them. That's just their way. That's what they do. So then I turned to David and said, he's full of faction. He came here to start trouble. And then I told him, you can turn around and get off this property. You're not welcomed here. And Michael saw that I was upset and walked up to me and said, Sandy, what's going on here? I said, am I being too aggressive like a Jezebel? And Michael said, Sandy, what's the Lord telling you? And I said, he's a liar and full of faction. And Michael said, okay. And he turned to that man and said, you heard the lady. Michael turned to the man, and so did David. They were standing shoulder to shoulder. And she got a verse, Zephaniah 3 and 9. For then I will give to the peoples purified lips, that all of them may call on the name of the Lord to serve him shoulder to shoulder. So there it is. That's the NASB. And then I woke up. And I received by faith at random Isaiah 31 and 8. She gives several verses here. She got them all by faith at random. And the Assyrian shall fall by the sword. There you go. Sennacherib scenario, talking about this faction that was trying to deceive us, right? And the Assyrian shall fall by the sword, not of man. Well, it was true, wasn't it? Sennacherib and his mighty men were destroyed by God in one night. The sword not of man, and the sword not of men shall devour him. And he shall flee from the sword, and his young men shall be subject to task work. And his rock shall pass away by reason of terror. And his princes shall be dismayed at the ensign, says the Lord, whose fire is in Zion, and his furnace in Jerusalem. Notice. Who among us can dwell with everlasting burnings? See, they can't stand the fire. The people in Jerusalem, the people in Zion, the people in the bride, they stay in the fire. The flesh is burnt up. They are sacrificing their old man by being obedient to the word. And the Assyrians were very successful in conquering the northern 10 tribes and their golden calves. But when they came against the bride, they were conquered. And that was the end of it. So, of course, Sennacherib was puffed up with his victories that he had over the nations, because none of their gods were God, as was said, right? But when they finally came to the small portion of God's people that were obedient, their God was God. So he didn't meet with the success he knew he would get, because their God was God. It said, "Thus saith the Lord, whose fire is in Zion, and his furnace in Jerusalem." Yes, the people who have the crucified flesh that don't have anything to worry about from the beast, from the factious beast in government or in the church. And then she got by faith at random, Ezekiel 35:6. "Therefore, as I live, saith the Lord, I will prepare thee unto blood, and blood shall pursue thee. Since thou hast not hated blood, therefore blood shall pursue thee." You know, we've already pointed out Cain, how that he killed his brother. He was being likened to the faction who killed his brother. And the blood of his brother called to the Lord from the earth for justice. Judgment came upon Cain because of that. And the harlot because of that. The harlot are those people who were supposed to be the Lord's people, but turned to fornication with the world, right? Amen. And she was guilty of, and is guilty today, of the blood of the saints and the blood of the children. Then she got, again by faith at random, Micah 7:3. "Their hands are upon that which is evil to do it diligently. The prince asketh, and the judge is ready for a reward. And the great man, he uttereth the evil desire of his soul. Thus they weave it together." Was this a crooked judge? I don't know. That was found floating in the harbor, that they had to quiet because they knew too much. Possibly somebody was coming close to the judge and so on. I don't know. But it has a connection here, and maybe many people have not made the connection. Possibly the people that are out there searching those tunnels out and the leadership have made the connection here. If anybody hears about that, please let me know. But I can tell you this, they're going out there to arrest the political elite all the way down to, you know, the FBI and the CIA people that were all trying to overthrow our government. And yes, in Hollywood and other places, you know. They're going out to arrest these people. And you know what? Now these people are a danger to those who are higher up the ladder. See, there's no loyalty to these people at all. I mean, the people that serve them, they're Satanists at the top of the ladder. The people that serve them, they're good as long as they serve them. But if they bring them into danger because they're being arrested, and they know that they could turn on them because they have no loyalty to anybody, then they will take them out. How many people did Hillary and Bill take out who were liable to talk? How many people? So many. So many people. Anybody that was a danger to them, they may have served them faithfully. It didn't make any difference. Now, what are the elite at the top like? Just like that. The announcements, which some of you may not get these announcements, but they're out there. The announcements that they're going to arrest this long list of people can be a death sentence for some of them. And I think they know that. I think that's one reason they announce it. Or they let it leak out. They don't do it officially. You know, much of the declass that they're doing is just leaking out little things here and there. There's much, much more to come out. And it's going to astound the world. It's going to be an awakening like you've never seen. Let me say, that's true in the government and in Hollywood and in business and in the church. It's going to be astounding. And there's no way they can stop it. No way they can stop it. Well, Father, we thank you for this great awakening. I believe it will destroy in your people any kind of faith in a human government at all. They'll not respect what they once respect. People revered in Hollywood, found out to be perverts, killers of children, drinkers of their blood, etc., etc. This should wake some people up. There's nothing to be respected about this world. Nothing to be trusted in this world. No pledge of allegiance to a flag is scriptural. Our allegiance, of course, is to the Lord, but we don't pledge anything according to the scriptures. The Bible says, just let your yes be yes and your no be no. We do are commanded to submit to the authorities unless they want us to sin, you know. But I believe this great awakening is going to turn a lot of people that are in the left to the right. It's already happening. The Democratic Party is hemorrhaging. The people who were watching the left-wing news are flooding away from them. They can see they're stupid. They can see something's very wrong. And they're flooding away from them. I believe that this coming election will be a giant landslide because people are coming to their senses. They're coming to an awakening. They're going to find out what the real leadership of this country has done. And I want to say the faction in the church too. There's everything that they have done is going to come out. Yep. So, I mean, obviously they could have been doing this all along, but they saved the best for last. And the declass is coming. It can't be stopped. Well, Father, and we thank you for this. We thank you for opening the eyes of especially your people, some who are caught up in this world or a worldly church. And, you know, when people realize that they've been so wrong but thought they were so right, they begin to question things again. This is what the church needs to do. Father, put questions in their heart, Lord. Let them again seek for truth and not just trust that they've got it. Let them find out what's wrong with the Nicolaitan leadership of the church. Let them see that this is a thing that you hate. and the people who claim that they're Israelites, but they are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. So when people realize that they were deceived, they wonder, what else have I been deceived about? Lord, I pray that your people will break the bread. We got that this morning. That he was known of them in the breaking of the bread. You can't really know Jesus until you take that bread apart and you look it over inside and out. Take the bread of heaven, the word of God, the manna from heaven, and take it apart and see what it's all about. Think about it. Meditate on it. Ruminate on it. So many people just sling verses here and there, and they don't even know what they say. And if they slow down for a moment to look at it, they realize they've been deceived. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." But yet the worldly church is of this world. And what we've got to do is be heavenly creatures born from above, which is not a one-time thing, as the church teaches. It's a constantly receiving of the bread of heaven that gives life to the world, which is Jesus Christ, the Word of God, gives life to the world. We need to stay in God's Word. Even all of this political stuff out there, I know there's plenty of reasons to rejoice, but you don't have to know all about it. The thing that will give you the resurrection life of Jesus Christ is your obedience to the Word of God, because you receive power from God through your faith in the sacrifice of Jesus. Isn't that cool? They say they're fond of saying you can't be perfect, but that does not mean God can't make you that and consider you that. They're always lowballing the scriptures and God, you know. Well, Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus that your people will get their eyes opened. Many people who have come to our ministry have gotten their eyes opened, and they've seen, well, there is a lot more to the Word than I have thought or known. And they feel, you know, the exuberance, if they love the Word, that is, of this. And I want to say to you, you know, that all of the factious people were the same way when they came to our ministry. They were very exuberant over the Word of God, and they realized there was a whole lot more to the Word than they had ever thought or been taught. But it was the furnace they didn't like. The teaching that you can be obedient if you repent and believe, because God empowers you. And also that word of God is to put to death your old man and your old life. Some of them, or actually all of the faction, have decided that's not going to happen. They're not going to lose their old life in order to gain their life. They decided that. They made that decision before God cut them off. When we come to the Lord, it is to die. We came here to die, just like our Lord. He is the head of the body of Christ. And the body of Christ is crucified so that the man on the inside can live. And that's what God's doing. He's consistently doing it. And they called it everlasting fire because it doesn't stop until God's through burning up the flesh. There's great encouragement along the way, always. Great encouragement. And the great encouragement, of course, is that God is with you as long as you're willing to give up your life to gain your higher life. He is with you. He is on your side. He has already accomplished this, And all you have to do is agree with him. How can two walk together except they be agreed? Well, they don't get to walk with Jesus because they don't agree with him, because they refused to give up their fornications, their thefts, their lies, their slander. They refused to give it up. And they became deceived. Deceived and being deceived. They became deceived. Supernaturally deceived. And, you know, by the way, who are the people that crucified the prophets? Jesus, the great men of God of history. Who are the people that did this? They were the factious who were deceived. And nothing has changed. God designed it this way. And the quicker you die, the quicker you come out from under the authority of these wicked people. And the devil himself. Jesus said, the wicked one comes, Satan comes, but he hath nothing in me. In other words, there was nothing there for him to get a hold of. And that's the way it needs to be with us. Nothing for them to get a hold of, to get a grip on, to bribe us with, etc., etc. Things that are more important, idols that are more important than God. If you've got idols or you're tempted to lust after the world, the things of the world, the lusts of the flesh, then you're likely to be taken down. If you're against these things from the very beginning, you want to have an eternal life with God in heaven. He's made the opportunity, supplied the power, supplied the sacrifice. All he wants you to do is believe. What happens to people when they start denying the scriptures is they're denying their own life, because your life comes from the scriptures. It's the water of life, living waters. When you deny the scripture in order to save your flesh, then you get more and more deceived. And this is happening. These people cannot live among a holy people, no more than Ananias and Sapphira could. They couldn't live among a holy people. God is a jealous God. He doesn't want a little leaven to leaven the whole lump. Put away the wicked man from among yourselves, he says. 1 Corinthians 5. Don't you know a little leaven will leaven the whole lump? Amen. So it's the same with us as an individual. As an individual, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. You've got enemies on board. And when you get into a particularly tight situation, there are Judases unto you. It's that way in a body of people. These Judases will come out. They come out through tribulation. They come out through when you show them what sin is, that they don't want to give up, they come out. They're revealed in the falling away, just like 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 speaks about. That's how Judas was revealed, in the falling away. He fell away, and everybody said, oh, it was Judas. Oh, it was him. Look what he did. Look what was hiding among us. So God's been delivering his body, his bride body, from leaven, from Judas's, etc. Lord, we thank you for locking them up. Lord, their attempted assassination of your servants has got blood on their hands. And their assassination of your servants has got blood on their hands. And they are guilty. and you have judged them so. And Lord, we take the authority to bind the forces of darkness that use them against the bride in the name of Jesus, against the man-child in the name of Jesus. We know that the dragon attempts to, but fails, to devour the man-child. And then, of course, the dragon goes after the woman in the wilderness. But she's given the great wings of an eagle, meaning an overcomer, that she can fly to her place. And that's because the man-child goes into the wilderness to for 3.5 years, just like Revelation 12 speaks about, to raise up the woman and to give her the wings of the eagle to overcome. Some people don't want to overcome their flesh. They love their flesh. They're not going to give it up. They're not going to go to their cross. And these people have to be separated because that's leaven. That turns people off. These people are packing demons around with them. Everybody in our assembly has noticed that whenever a person who has, you know, they're a mixed multitude, in other words, they're half world and half kingdom, that when they leave, no matter what their natural gift was, everything looks up. We feel the positive effect of the anointing of God every time. It's amazing. And some of them were in the world, very gifted people, able to do things, able to play music, able to, you know, whatever, gifted. But you don't need that. There's no way you ever need that. It's the spirits that they bring with them that waters down and tries to hinder the working of God. No matter what kind of an imp you might have, no matter how small the demon you might have, remember, they're on the other side. When you get in a tight place, they're capable of doing things to throw you on the wrong side of the fence. So you need to get rid of all of them. And they've got something in you or they wouldn't be there in the first place. There's something that they've got a hold of. They've got a legal right or they wouldn't be there in the first place. These demons come out at times of their advantage when they see it as an advantage in order to stop the church, in order to stop the bride, in order to stop the people of God from advancing in the kingdom. That's when they start manifesting. The person that's taken over by them, they're not worried about them. They're just a shell, you know. But they want to stop the advance of the kingdom. Anything that hurts Satan's kingdom, he makes war against them. He teaches his demons how to assassinate them. Literally so. He teaches them how to assassinate these people so that their ministry will be naught. But you know, God is the one that's in control. Now, they might have killed Jesus, but they sent him into a place where he could be the head of the whole body. To him that overcometh, will I give authority over the nations. Overcoming is a matter of giving up your life, giving up your desires, turning it all over to God, who just wants us to walk by faith in him to deliver us from these things. So, Father, we put our faith in you. We know that you have raised up the crucifiers like Judas, but you will take them down when their job is finished, crucifying the Christ. You raise them up, but you take them down. Didn't I choose you 12? But one of you is a devil. Yeah, why did Jesus choose for a devil to be among the disciples? Well, in this case, it was so that he could go to his cross. Somebody has got to be guilty. Somebody's got to be the crucifier. That's what the world is all about. As I've said before, God could have threw Satan in the pit at the very beginning, but he was needed and necessary because men need to be able to make a choice between God or the world, the lust of the flesh, the devil, etc. We're seeing who made that choice wrongly. We're seeing it. And what does this done? What does deception do? Deception purifies the church. Because the wicked follow after it, and the righteous do not. So it makes a separation. God works all things for the good of those that love God and are called according to His purpose. All things. Thank you, Lord, that you are all wise. And so many times we've tried to pray you out of things that are necessary and needed. But you are all wise, Lord, and you know exactly what you're doing. We put our trust in you. We thank you, Lord, that your work of preparing the bride is almost done. And that this is the time of the Red Sea. Thank you, Father, for doing that in Jesus' name. Thank you, saints, for joining us today in Jesus' name. God bless you and keep you. Please keep on praying with us about this wicked army that they're trying to raise up. We already know the end result. I've already shared it with you. But God's got a method to bring people to the place He wants them. And that's prayer and faith, right? So please pray and believe with us in Jesus' name. And for the situations that you have around you in your life, you know, pray and believe. We'll agree with you. Thank you, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Good night, saints.